I'm Christy Hemingway, host of Ed Curation, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hey, welcome back. Steve here, and today I'm talking with Dr. Parul Duamakar. She owns and runs her own successful dental practice in New York. She has also helped complete her brother's book, Life Interrupted, Dr. Dua's Survival Guide. Her brother, Manu, was also a dentist who started his book when he was trying to survive oral cancer. Parul shares his book, his legacy, with us. This is such a powerful interview. You're going to learn a little bit about dentistry, you're going to learn a lot about oral cancer, and you're going to learn about finding one's inner peace. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. And oh, by the way, before you go, there's a couple ways you could help out the podcast. What do you think? One of the ways is just tell a friend, share the links, you know, find one person that you know hasn't listened to it and say, hey, you ought to listen to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, and here's the link. That would be cool. Or you could go to my website and leave a review and subscribe, you know, say a few nice words. How about that? That'd be good. And how about you could click on the link that's on my website homepage that says Buy Me a Coffee. You click on that, and by doing this, you could go in there and donate a dollar or two to help me address the costs associated with producing the podcast. That'd be so cool. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for sharing. You are awesome. Enjoy the show.
Sure. Manu was a dentist like myself. He had followed my footsteps. And so we often took courses. And that was the one thing that, you know, united us, because we were so far apart in age, different gender, different areas where we grew up in the world. But dentistry united us. And so he had told me about something on his tongue. And he was just shy of his 33rd birthday.
It's the Education Podcast, your favorite show, with lots of groovy guests, and they share what they know. So crank it up to 10 and let your neighbors know that here's another show with Dr. Steve Mileto. Teaching, learning, leading K-12. Teaching, learning, leading K-12. Teaching, learning, leading K-12. With Dr. Steve Mileto.
For the past dozen years, Dr. Parul Duamakar has owned and run her own successful dental practice in New York. She also helped publish and contributed to her brother's book, Life Interrupted, Dr. Dua's Survival Guide. It was released after Dr. Dua, a dentist, died from oral cancer. She is now an unspoken advocate to educate doctors and patients on risk factors, early detection, and the treatment of oral cancer. This fall, she became a wellness ambassador as well as a fellow of the American Dental Association. In just the last 2 years, Dr. Makar has received numerous awards and recognition, including Denobi Awards, Long Island Excellence in Healthcare, Power Woman of Long Island, Hometown Hero Channel 12, Healthcare Hero SNEPS Media, and Outstanding Achievement Award by Indian American Forum. Dr. Makar earned her Doctor of Dental Surgery, DDS, from the University of Oklahoma College of Dentistry in 2023. She passed the National Dental Examination Board of Canada a year later. She completed her residency at Staten Island University Hospital in 2007. She earned a Bachelor of Science in Biology, magna cum laude, from the University of Central Oklahoma. She has been featured in numerous professional media outlets, including Dental Today, Dental Town, Canadian Dental Association, Nassau County Dental Society, Oral Health, Journal of Oklahoma Dental Association, Women in Dentistry Magazine, British Dental Journal, Top Doctor Magazine, Marquee Top Doctor, and Entrepreneur's Herald. She's also been published by or featured in numerous media outlets, including Fox News, Prevention Magazine, SiriusXM, and katiecurrick.com. She can also be seen in a link that I'll give you in the show notes for ABC TV Tucson. She's a member of many professional associations, including American Dental Association, Nassau County Dental Society, New York Dental Society, and Indian Dental Association, New York. Born in India and raised in Abu Dhabi, UAE, Dr. Makar has also lived in Calgary and Edmonton in Canada, as well as Oklahoma City and Queens and Staten Island in New York City. She resides in Jericho, New York, and I'll give you some links a little bit later, but you'll be able to go to pdmfamilydental.com to learn about her dental practice, as well as I'll have links to her own show website, paruldumakar.com, about her book. Dr. Makar, thanks so much for being on the show, and say hi to everyone.
Hi, everyone, and thank you, Steve, for having me here on this platform.
Well, glad to have you here. And Pearl, let's start with this. Could you talk about you as a dentist? I mean, why'd you pursue this career field?
Sure. So I think I've always been interested in the practice of medicine, and I've had family members and I've, you know, watched over them. And I think I really like the work-life balance in dentistry. I'm a mom, and I'm able to be there for my children when they need it, do my own hours, as well as there is an instant gratification that comes with dentistry when I can get somebody out of pain really quick, fix their tooth. There, you know, you can't go out there if you've got a broken tooth or a chipped or you're swollen out to here, and I can provide care and almost get that instant gratification, and that's very comforting and rewarding. So yeah, it's afforded me both.
That's awesome. And that, and as a note, that is a cool aspect of, because, you know, one problem as a civilian, not a dentist, we oftentimes are afraid of you guys, but at the same time, you help save us from our own problems, things that we've done. I mean, everything from, helping us be more preventative focused to saving us from that excruciating pain that might be there. So, good stuff. And that's got to be comforting when you know that you've helped somebody like that.
As Hayden, not the most favorite profession, but, I was listening to the John Tesh show yesterday, and they were just talking about how people who have better teeth have a better chances of getting higher promotions, as well as even in the dating world. You know, just it improves self-confidence if you've got a great smile and you've got good teeth. So oral care, and it's linked to overall health. It goes hand in hand. So yeah, we're kind of not the favorite, but they're so essential.
So much so, so much so. So much needed. And you're so right about the different, just the way it makes you feel. It's good stuff. So let's talk about this. Could you tell us about your brother, Dr. Manu Dua? What was he like? And what did he like to do? And what do you believe in?
Yeah, Manu was my younger and only sibling. Almost 7.5 years. So I remember bringing him home from the hospital. And I was like, I want a sister. And I ended up with a brother. I'm like, But he was, he was a very calm child. And as he grew, he was an old soul. He always, I think at some point, the roles reversed, where he became my older brother so much that he would guide me in my profession, guide me in life. And he was just a happy-go-lucky person. He lived life to his own terms, and he never bent down to anybody else's expectations, and that's very commendable. And that's why I say he was such an old soul. He was never like, oh, you have to do this because your parents told you to do this. So he was like, no, I don't feel like doing this. I'm going to do what makes me happy. And he was a sporty guy, he played rugby. You couldn't beat him on the squash court and badminton, like all the racket sports he enjoyed. And he loved driving cars. And, he died of oral cancer at 34. And when he was first diagnosed, one of the things that he did after his first surgery was go out and buy a Porsche, because he knew, if not now, then when? So he lived fully his short life. He lived it to the best.
Awesome, and appreciate you sharing the nice thing to what the heck, let's go ahead and get that one in one, and let's do it now. So I've never owned one, but I've ridden in one where a gentleman who owned it said, you want to feel power, watch this. And as my head is being pulled back out of the it's like, whoa. Yeah,
nice. And he actually he was, he kept his friendships and his people so close to him that he actually left his Porsche to his best friend.
Nice. That was very nice. Can you share a little bit about what happened to him?
Sure. Manu was a dentist like myself. He had followed my footsteps. And so we often took courses. And that was the one thing that, united us, because we were so far apart in age, different gender, different areas where we grew up in the world. But dentistry united us. And so he had told me about something on his tongue, and he was just shy of his 33rd birthday. And unfortunately, by the time I was diagnosed right after his 33rd birthday, it was a stage 2 squamous cell carcinoma of the tongue. And, you know, it's just irony, the fact that we're both dentists and that's what he had. And he had his major surgery where half his tongue was removed and he had lymph nodes removed. And unfortunately, the cancer is very aggressive that it returned within 8 months. Some more surgery during the time of COVID. And eventually within, I would say, a year and a half of his initial diagnosis, he passed away due to metastatic oral cancer.
Wow, that, and to be so young and to be gone so fast too. Very sorry. The one of the things that your brother was doing was he wrote a book called Life Interrupted, Dr. Dua's Survival Guide. And you completed the book and made sure it was published. What's its main message?
So Manu, you know, just for your listeners, Manu wrote these series of blogs as healing cancer. He knew his prognosis. And this was during the time of COVID. His recurrence, initial diagnosis was in 2019. Recurrence was in 2020, just when COVID hit in April. So March, April. And so when he was getting chemo radiation towards the summer of 2020, that's when he started writing. And it was his reflections of life lessons, what he thought of life. And he would write a series of blogs. And he wanted these to be published. Unfortunately, you know, time was not in his hands. He had expressed this desire in December of 2020 when I went to visit him amid the whole COVID. You know, I'm in New York. He was in Canada. Borders were shut down. If you've forgotten about all that, there was chaos and uncertainty. And we weren't vaccinated. And Manu was immunocompromised. So there was a lot of uncertainty, as well as the cancer. So, and he had no outlet. He had no friends that were close to him because they were restricted due to COVID restrictions. Visitors were not allowed. He was going in for chemo radiation. So these writings were his outlet. And he just talks about his failures. He talks about not losing hope, even though tomorrow is not promised. And he knew his tomorrow wasn't promised. And in some respect, we all know tomorrow isn't promised to us. He talks about not making, chasing after your own, what are we chasing? He talks about chasing trophies. He talks about his dog, parents, love, how, you know, we tend to ignore sometimes the advice of our parents, but, you know, they've done their due diligence. They've fought their battles and what they're telling you, maybe you should pay mind to it. And he talks about life lessons. He talks about immortality, how to achieve it. And about new beginnings at the end when he knew that, you know, it's going to be time soon. So these were just his reflections of life facing death.
It's incredible that he decided to just start, you know, doing this and reflecting that way. They, you know, and the timing, the years right there, hard to forget a lot of that stuff. I actually had to see a dentist during those times, and it was a little like, if you ever saw the movie E.T., I felt like how E.T. must have felt with all these people gathered around me with these big masks and big suits on, and it was like, yeah, I'll never forget that, because, you know, as a dentist, you're going to have to be right there looking in the...
We were looking at people's, and people were scared to come to the dentist. People did not want to come in. We were shut down by in New York State. You know, we were shut down. We were not considered essential. And there was a lot of uncertainty with our job, or, you know, the virus. And that's a whole different avenue.
very much so. So could you talk a little bit about the symptoms of oral cancer and how to best treat it? I mean, how does it appear?
So oral cancer is really caused by different factors, extrinsic, like smoking, tobacco, chewing, vaping, alcohol use. And another reason for the rise of oral cancer, especially in the young, is due to HPV, which is the human papilloma virus. And this is why we get our preteens the HPV vaccine when they're in the preteens. And some of the signs and symptoms is having a lesion, like a red or a white lesion that doesn't rub off, so you can't take like a gauze and remove it off your tongue, and anything that is not healing. So let's say you had some hot coffee, you burned, you cut yourself with brushing your tooth with a toothbrush, or you cut yourself in some manner, or you bit your lip, it should heal within 2 weeks. And if it doesn't, and it's persisting, whether it's painful or not, whether it's grown in size or not, it's just this lesion, and you should have that biopsied and checked out, because cancer does not necessarily have to be painful. It can be painless, but as the lesion grows and goes deeper into the structures, it can be painful. You can have trouble lifting up your tongue, or when you stick your tongue out, it deviates to one side, earache, jaw pain. If it's oropharyngeal cancer, which is towards the back of the throat, then you can have trouble swallowing, chronic cough, or if you feel like a lump or like a bump on one side of your mouth or your neck rather than both sides. So let's say you had a cold and your lymph nodes are inflamed both sides, then it's fine, you know, but it's one side and it's persistent, then I would have it checked out.
Gotcha. I appreciate you sharing that. You know, one of the things that I've been around for a while. It's, you know, since I was a little kid, they've always talked to us about proper dental hygiene and everything from cartoons on TV on Saturday mornings, instructing you how to and how not to take care of your teeth and stuff like this, to where we've come in recent years, where in recent years there's been more talk, not just about, you know, brushing your teeth and flossing and stuff like this. There's also been talk about how important oral health is to the overall health of an individual. And I was wondering if you just kind of talk about that, what your thoughts are about oral health linked to our health as overall.
Well, it's completely linked. First of all, if you don't have great teeth, if you have missing teeth, loose teeth, you're not able to get a good diet in. You're not able to eat harder foods like carrots and stuff. You have to always mush. Your diet changes. It affects your self-confidence. If you don't have great teeth, if you have bad breath, nobody wants to come close to you. So that affects you as a person psychologically. If you have bad periodontal disease, so that buildup that you cannot remove, you know, the plaque that you cannot remove, and it gets black and discolors, causing bleeding when you brush your teeth, flossing, any of those signs of periodontal disease, that's linked to heart disease, to stroke, to Alzheimer's, to dementia, I think I mentioned stroke before, but it affects everything, including diabetes. And that plaque bacteria is present in that plaque, and that can travel all over your body and cause clots, leading to stroke and heart disease. And so even during pregnancy, there is a symptom called pregnancy gingivitis, which has an inflamed response due to pregnancy hormones. So getting your cleanings during pregnancy, not x-rays, just cleanings, is perfectly normal, but it affects everything. And so that's why I say overall health is linked to good oral hygiene.
Nice. I think it is interesting how much this has become emphasized. And I in recent years, there have been some superstar athletes who have succumbed to some health that's been connected to dental hygiene and so forth like that, or lack thereof. And
right. Somebody who had an infection in the brain, right? Because of an...
Correct.
Yeah, infection. Exactly.
Yeah, so it's really become a, I think sometimes when people, you know, I'll just say it like this. All right, so by this time, you know, when I'm now getting close to where my father, it's amazing. I remember as a kid when he got to this age, I remember him saying, you know, by the time I got to this age, I thought for sure we'd have flying cars, flying jetpacks, all kinds of stuff like this. And he goes, nothing. Well, I say that because, you know, we're getting closer to some of that stuff. There's people messing around with flying cars. And right. If you want to go in the ocean and get a jetpack, they'll use the water to shoot you up in the air and all kinds of stuff like that. But, you know, but one of the things that has really moved forward is is the way we care for our teeth and can do and things that are available to us. Because I can tell you, there's some things that I've had to have done that there's a lot less painful stuff too. Which
there's a lot. Yeah, there is. Dentistry's changed so much. Yeah, definitely. It's not like that image that you were envisioning at some point that somebody has to pull out your tooth. They're going to sit on your chest and yank it out, right?
Right.
You know, it's not that anymore. There is a lot of painless stuff. There is sedation. There is nitrous oxide. You can do all that good stuff. There is a lot more awareness of taking care of baby teeth so that you're retaining them and maintaining them until they're ready to fall out and get the adult tooth. And there's more into airway, how if you have a narrow mouth and you're not able to breathe properly, which leads to bedwetting, it leads to sleep apnea in children, bedwetting, but sleep apnea in adults, sleep apnea in children if they're snoring. So there's a lot more advancement in dentistry, how we need to open up their airways, we need to expand their jaws, we need to work together in an ENT. You know, there's more emphasis on the emphasis being overall care, that it's not just teeth we're looking at. We're looking at the person, we're looking at that there is a correlation between teeth, mouth, and everything else. There's also so many different products out there that, you know, that are not as, they're more aesthetic as far as white fillings, maybe not gold when your father's age. I've worked with gold, more aesthetic things and replacement, that we're not just going to give you dentures. There's implants that is more, you know, as close as you can get to replacing your natural teeth. What in our world would be ideal is we can start growing new teeth again. And there's research, you know, there's stuff happening with stem cell research to see if that can actually happen. But that would be like our flying cars.
Gotcha.
In our world.
That would be cool, though. That would be awesome. That's I like that research. Work on it. All right. We got to,
you can grow a tooth. Right now we can't. We have to restore it. Yeah.
That would be so awesome. It is fascinating to me, though, because there are some things that, I mean, even flavored stuff that is used to help numb and all kinds of stuff or help clean, that at one time it's like, oh, yeah, here we go, you know, blah.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, that wasn't bad. You know, it's like
choices. You get what, I give, especially my children, choices like, you know, we have that little Profi paste. I'm like, what color? I've got pina colada. I've got marshmallow. I've got cherry, strawberry.
Nice.
There's more digital advancements. So back then you had to take like regular impressions with all the putty material and it's kind of jokey. Now we have scanners that can scan you. X-rays, you know, we're not taking those little bites that you have to do. And for us, we had to hand develop them or put them in a machine and it would take time. Now it's digital. We take a digital X-ray. I can blast it on a screen, make it bigger and actually educate you what I see. I can take an intraoral camera and take pictures of what I'm looking at. So you know what I'm looking at and we can make a conscious decision about your health. Right.
It's so awesome. Cause it's like, I've switched dentists cause I had moved in the state. And so it was not going to work going back, which is unfortunate cause he was awesome. but so I switched dentists. And so they wanted to go ahead and do whole battery of the X-rays and stuff. And I got to experience exactly what you're talking about, which was, it wasn't the X-rays of the past where, you know, you're putting the little folded things in that have this nice little way of irritating and getting right where you don't want them to be type thing. And instead it's like, and then suddenly they're up on the screen and it's like, now check that out, man.
Yeah. It's amazing how far dentistry's come even in the 20 years that I've been practicing. Yeah.
That's so cool. All right. So, you know, one of the things you mentioned earlier, this is something I want to come back to, is the possibility of the links between vaping, smoking, and cancer. Can we go into that just a little bit?
Sure. So vaping is even more harmful. I know it's more socially acceptable because you don't have the stink factor. And it's the cool, like, oh, you got a pen. The problem is many of the youth are doing it, and there is a lot of risk factors for the young. And because the vape has an oil that coats your lungs, and it's even more damaging than actually smoking. And also, interestingly enough, in Australia in 22 of October, they banned any vape that has nicotine in it because it's so carcinogenic. And so, yeah, vaping is actually the new, you know, we shouldn't be doing it. It's the new non-smoking, you know, smoking is bad. Vaping is the alternative they took to it, but it's even worse. So, and there's also an increased use of cannabis use, which, of course, has damaging effects. Not only is it vaping, smoking, it's chewing tobacco, and it's also prolonged use of smoking, such as with hookah use. So people who are, and you know, again, we surround ourselves with social events like that, but you are in an environment where you are being subjected to, like you take a cigarette, maybe it takes you a few puffs and you're done. But in a case of a hookah, you're spending hours in that environment. And so your exposure rate is much longer and it's harmful. So all of them are bad. Combine that with alcohol use, you're definitely increasing your chances of cancer.
Wow. You know, and this one of the sad things about vaping is that it's been kind of, young people are buying into the thought that, well, it's not smoking cigarettes.
Right. It's even more harmful. Yeah. And it's become more like, I'm just going to vape. It's not a cigarette. It's just a one puff. And that one puff, it's addictive. It is marketed to teens with Juul and different flavors. You know, talking about flavors, there's so many different flavoring. But it is a hidden pandemic, and it's just gonna, the effects are going to be, you know, when our kids get to our age, that's when you're going to feel more of the effects of it. Just like smoking back in the days in the 60s, smoking was considered cool, right? Marlboro Man, right?
Right.
Where he was like this cool guy, people and movies would smoke, and people who were pregnant, women were pregnant, were smoking at that time. It wasn't considered a taboo. Until reports and stuff. So science has shown us otherwise. And now all smoking comes with a warning. So I think vaping is going to be eventually sooner than later. Yeah, creating that effect.
Mm-hmm. Really hope so. Because it's one of those things. I mean, you're talking to someone who my mother started smoking at 15, stopped when she was 33, but died at 49. And it was cancer related to the smoking. And you know, the interesting thing is today they have a lot of ways of, you know, some of this, what took her out probably could be eliminated or at least prolonged her life a lot more today than they could then. But, you know, it's one of those things where you, it's so telltale, first of all. Oh, look, all of a sudden there's all this strawberry smell around me. I wonder what that is. Yes, that's someone did not suddenly decide to use hair lotion or something on their, you know, some sort of product on their hair or something like this. Nope, that would be a big, oh yeah, there's the cloud right there. And
And it's easier to carry, right? Like you can just go into the bathroom and go do it. And it's more, there's more ease of use than smoking. Sure. Right.
And it's easily carried like a little USB drive, yep. You know, it's like,
exactly.
You know,
exactly. You're not seeing a pack. You're just seeing a little pen, and you may not even, if you're not aware of it, you may not know what it is.
Yeah, no, that's it's an interesting turn of events that have happened in the last several years. It's become a major issue where lots of everything from sports stadiums to whatever have had to say, no, you can't do that either. So, so I appreciate you talking about that. I mean, all right. So one of the things that, you know, with your brother's book, Life Interrupted, Dr. Dua's Survival Guide, one of the things that I'm guessing that as he's seen his mortality happen is that what comes to mind is some sort of focus on peace. And I was wondering if you could talk with me a little bit about your insights on hope and how to find internal peace.
Manu talks a lot about finding internal peace. And I feel like he had reached a stage of enlightenment. He talks about having out-of-body experiences, meditation, his body was undergoing a lot of pain and trauma from the surgeries, from the treatment, chemo, radiation, immunotherapy. He had been in 3 major operations during the course of the treatment. And he talks about how he would actually dissociate his mind from his body and try to calm his mind so his body could endure. So, and it was that mind over matter analogy. And he talks about how tragedy is when he found eternal peace, because there was just all this chaos and all this uncertainty. What treatment's going to work? What's not going to work? What is my tomorrow? What do I have to do today? What I had projected for life and what actually transpired. You know, we're not in control of the cards that life deals us. We have to make the best of those cards. And he even talks about that in tragedy, he found his internal peace. And he doesn't need to, like, he was content with not having anybody read his words. He's like, I found it. I found my peace, and there's no greater reward than that. And I'm glad he did, because his soul wasn't in a turmoil, you know, that tragedy can take you both ways. It can lead you to depression and anxiety and a downward spiral, or it can transform you and transcend you into finding that internal peace. And one of the things that he strongly believed in was that our mind, body, and soul have a remarkable capacity to heal, and that we are stronger than we can imagine. And he strongly believed in those words.
That's, you know, it's awesome, because that's, it's rough enough as it is trying to deal with, you know, pain associated with it, whatever, you know, like I said before, this kind of like your mortality is slipping away. And to have to come to that recognition that it's quite possible that this, you know, you have to identify with, you know, figure out how to be good with everything. And that would be quite a struggle. And it's great that he took time to put those words down and the thoughts that he had about it. You know, one of the things that I can imagine also is that the idea of, you know, confronting your own legacy, what you've left behind while you're dying. And I was wondering if you could kind of go there with me as well.
So Manu created his own legacy, and I've written that in the book, that this was Manu's legacy, the book, his writings, his words. I have nothing left of him besides these words. I don't have other siblings. I don't have his kids or reflections of him, maybe. So the words and the way he traveled this tough, arduous journey, anybody who's been in the cancer world, and I'm, you know, you included, if you've watched a loved one, if you've gone through it yourself, know that it's not a battle to go alone. And it consumes everybody around you. So Manu is gone, but the scars of cancer we bear still to this day, we as in my parents and I. And it's a very, sibling loss is very challenging. Losing a child is very challenging. They're very unique losses. And it's hard for somebody else who hasn't traveled the path to comprehend. So the legacy we're trying to keep and maintain for him, for us, that something good is created out of it, that Manu's death is not just a statistic, that it is a change in movement to prevent more deaths from cancer, to bring awareness to oral cancer, not only to the general public, that we're going to the dentist. Yes, it's important for overall health and all of that, but your dentist can save your life. That if they diagnose something and it's treated early on, because it's such an aggressive form and there's such critical structures around your head and neck area, the lymph nodes are right there, your brain is only 3 inches away. You know, it's so critical that your dentist can actually save your life. And for dentists and dental professionals that pay that extra 2 minutes attention screening your patients for oral cancer, being aware of their medical histories, their social habits, and talking to them about oral care.
What a great message. Our lives are busy. We get consumed by all kinds of things. And many times when we reflect back on it, I mean, I'm someone who loves sports, but like my wife likes to remind me, they don't pay you. And we have to remind ourselves about the things that really do matter and can impact the longevity that you have on this, in our world. So, Pearl, I appreciate you sharing all this with us today. If someone wanted to follow up and connect with you and or learn more, find out more about your brother's book, Life Interrupted, Dr. Dua's Survival Guide, where do they need to go to reach out?
So this book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, any bookstore worldwide, but Amazon's kind of like the best source. It is available on my website if you want to get in touch with me, which is paroldua.com, and I'm on Instagram at Dua, D-U-A. Good job.
Nice. So I'll put that information in the show notes, and so that it's easy for them to find as well. I've got two last questions I'd like to ask you before we go there. And before I do that, I got to make sure that I understand. So on Instagram, it's Dua, good job. Just like...
Yeah, D-U-A-G-O-O-D-J-O-B. Yeah.
Nice.
Dua, good job. It's a pun on words.
Dua, good job. I like that. I like that. Sorry.
I won't take credit for it. Dua is my maiden name. Of course, my brother's last name. And he coined it. But that's the Instagram. So I won't take credit. But yeah, that's what it is.
Thanks. I was going to go right on through. And I was like, oh, no. I got to come back to that because I'm pretty sure I understand the pun there. So good stuff. I like that. So I'll put that information in the show notes so it's easy to find. Last two questions I like to ask my guests, and Pearl, this is one of them. How do you keep going when so much is going on that you may want to quit?
That's a great question, and I've asked myself that a lot of times, because I had to say goodbye to Manu on a video call just as this. His body was shutting down, and he was in hospice, and I was told, you need to make it. And I was trying to get a PCR result. And the reason my delayed flight was because of PCR testing. I had my compassion release letters from the Government of Canada, which is a whole different process. It's an 8-page application that has to be approved by the government, signed by doctors. It's a whole mess. But I had that because I was going to go visit him, and I lost him. And I told him on a video call as he was on a morphine drip and literally his bodies were shutting down. And I said, don't wait for me. You let go and I'll come as fast as I can, but don't hold on. And the next day I was flying out, and the evening as I was planning, packing, I got a call that he was no more. So I knew that I was going to plan a funeral at this point, and I'm going to go see my parents and face death in its true form. And everything was on auto drive after that. And it really hit me, I would say, a month or two later, what my body actually did, and my mind processed it a little bit later. And that's what happens in grief and trauma. But I still had to function as a dentist. I still had to go see my patients. I still had to be a mom, a wife, a daughter, daughter-in-law, still sister, support him, get his book out. And I had no choice. It was do or die. Either I have to pull myself together, ask for help, fall when I need to, but remember that I have to get up from this, tap into people and resources, and make that conscious effort. Because if I didn't do it for myself, no one else is going to do it. My husband was very supportive, and he took care of things when I lagged. And it helped to have a supportive husband, because I couldn't do it alone, and accepting that you cannot do everything alone. So there is a lot of self-realization in that process. And I had kids that were looking up to me, and I was very honest with, you know, they've seen me cry, they've seen me break down, they've seen me go through panic, and explaining to them that this is what grief does, and it's okay. I'm still here, and I'll still love you. And I just need, mommy needs a minute to breathe, and I'll be back.
That's very powerful. Thank you for sharing. And, you know, it's it is something that as you're dealing with all that stuff, you just figure out a way.
You have to. Otherwise, it's a mind works in very weird ways. And you just have to shift your mindset. And that's what it is. And you have to pull through.
Thank you for sharing that. Last question for you. Do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? If so, who was it? And what would you say if given a chance to say thank you?
This would be kind of silly or however you want to take it. But my mom's a teacher. And I've always inspired in her because she's, you know, of course your parents are your first teachers, but throughout her life, she never gave up teaching. And she taught me what it was to be a working mom, that it's okay to have a life outside your home. And she moved so many countries. She moved from India, she taught, and she would take me to school. We were in the same school. We went to Abu Dhabi, she worked, and then we moved to Canada. She retrained herself and went back, and she taught for the Canadian Board of Education. And retired from that after Manu's death because she couldn't focus mentally anymore. There was depression. But she never quit. And no matter the challenges that she had, different countries, different way of teaching, different lifestyles, she did it. And to this day, that's what inspired me.
That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. And Parul, Dr. Makar, I mean, thank you so much for sharing Life Interrupted, Dr. Dua's Survival Guide, and sharing your brother's legacy. What a powerful book, and thank you for making sure that his thoughts were shared with the world. Wishing you the best in what you do.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me and for sharing this book with the world.
Hey, you have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast to help you help kids achieve their dreams. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a member of the podcast network based in Canada called Voice Ed Radio. Voice Ed Radio, your voice is right here. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and host. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Hey, thanks for listening. It would be awesome if you visited my website at stephenmoletto.com and connected with me, left a review, and listened to more episodes. And by the way, you could also share it with your friends, with your family, and your colleagues. Thanks so much. You're awesome.